Tom, I love the name of your documentary, Smiling Through the Apocalypse. What's the story behind the title?
The title, Smiling Through the Apocalypse, comes from an anthology that my father put together, which was all of the great writing from Esquire magazine in the 60s. And I think the title also just captures the entire tone of the magazine, where, you know, it was all of this very turbulent events going on with race and war and demonstration and everything else. And while all of this turbulence was going on, Esquire just took a seat on the sideline and had this kind of smirk attitude as things went by. And because the magazine was not able to be timely, it had a lead time of 3 months, and sometimes the inception of articles would take another 2 months. They had to find something else, another alternative viewpoint to keep the news fresh and interesting. That's really what the magic of Esquire was. And it was also the basis of something called new journalism that my father shepherded.
Explain that concept of new journalism.
New journalism really was never, arguably was never new, according to my father. It was a way of reporting that used novelistic techniques, lots of dialogue, scene setting, interior monologue, fictional techniques to report on nonfictional events.
Did anything stand out or really surprise you about your father during the making of the film?
Well, you know, I think what surprised me most was how some of these people were impacted, how their whole lives, careers, and how they were shaped, their voices were shaped into becoming what they would later become. For instance, Nora Ephron. I had no idea that he had the impact that he did with her. She talked about how he was able to be so protective of her voice. And it was in my father's landscape where, you know, he nurtured these people.
Tom, I know your father, Harold Hayes, is from North Carolina. He was born here and also graduated from Wake Forest University. Do you highlight any of his North Carolina ties in this film?
We go right to the very beginning in North Carolina and how he was raised, you know, the son of a Baptist minister in Winston-Salem, and how he goes to Wake Forest. I have one great story in the film where he's working for the student magazine, the editor, and he decides that Dizzy Gillespie's coming to the state for a concert, and why not get up on the highway and flag down the bus and invite the band over for an interview? And so he does this, and they give the whole band some chicken that they've been able to find from local sources, and the band was so touched that they went back to the bus and came back to the hall where they were, and they had a concert for the student magazine.
One thing that I found interesting you told me earlier is that you actually used the library at Wake Forest for some of your research for this film.
Well, when he died, he contributed his papers, his letters, all of his files to the Rare Books Room. So up there, you will find a treasure trove of things like letters from Groucho Marx complaining about the size of the type of Esquire and that it was too small for older people, and folders from all kinds of great writers. And so, I mean, there's a wealth of information up there, which I just barely scratched the surface of in the film, but it was just a great resource.
Tom, any final words about your documentary before we go?
Well, the biggest takeaway, I think, is getting a snapshot on a period that many of us, including myself, were too young to know about or realize or appreciate. You get a real sense of the creativity that Esquire was producing and this unprecedented freedom that my father was able to provide like no other editor ever was able to do in years later, and how much courage it really took to do some of the things that he did. But it's also a story about, you know, just a son, me, trying to understand what their father did and what it was that made him great.